good morning, good day, good year. That's how the Jewish people used to greet each other, and I don't know why we stopped, but that's what I read. Okay, so we're saying morning brachos. I offer thanks to you, living and eternal King, for you have mercifully restored my soul within me. Your faithfulness is great. Hashem, you see all, you hear all, you know all, you made all, you make all. From a drop to dust, maggots, and worms, to give an accounting for everything we thought, said, and did. Please help us to live a life that we want to repeat. Thank you, Hashem, for making our face, our body, our soul, our holy Jewish neshama, and the matriarchs and patriarchs, tzaddikim and tzaddikesses, the oral and the written Torah, Sabbath, and the Jewish holidays. Please help us to celebrate them correctly with good food, good clothes, Torah learning, family, singing, and may we have good health, be well mentally, emotionally, psychologically, physically, materially, financially, and spiritually in order to do your will, basimcha, and in good health. Ein od mavado. There is nothing but Hashem. When Hashem reigned alone, nothing was created. Then he created the world. He is the same exact Hashem that was there before anything was created. And he made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. He took the Jewish people out of Egypt, gave them the Torah, and he gave the 7 Noahide laws to the nations through Adam, through Noah, and through Moses. The 7 Noahide laws are: worship the one and only God who has no form and no body, who made everyone and everything and knows everything about us and guides our steps in every day. The next one is not to murder, not to speak badly against anyone or anything. The next one is do not commit adultery. The 7 Noahide laws and Judaism, which was the first religion, they both say that you're allowed to marry your first, second, and third cousins. And according to the nation's rules of the 7 Noahide laws, they're allowed to marry a half-brother from the father's side. If the father remarries and they have a child, the father and his wife, so that child, they're allowed to marry. The Jewish people, however, have to have a service with a rabbi in order to be married, okay, with two Jewish witnesses that keep the Sabbath. Okay, the next rule is not to steal anything, even a penny, from anyone. If you steal, it means you don't believe that God provides for you, and God provides even for the animals. Also, under that rule is not to steal people's reputation, their relationships, their time, their sleep. Don't purposely try to take away anything that doesn't belong to you. Okay, next thing is not to curse God, because anything that happens to us is because of our thoughts, speech, and deeds. If not in this incarnation, from a previous one. Hashem rewards to 2,000 generations. Every time you do a good deed, he rewards to the 2,000th generation. But when people do bad deeds, Hashem waits till the third or the fourth generation, which is most likely a reincarnation of the person, in order to enact, wouldn't call it a punishment because there's no such word in Hebrew. The word is tikkun, which means correction, in order to enact a correction. So when you see things that look unjust, it's because Hashem waited for many centuries in order to enact correction on the person. But that doesn't mean that every person or, you know, animal that you look at suffering, you should say, well, that's just a punishment for some incarnation from before that he didn't exact the right way, that he didn't make a tikkun on. Because just as Hashem is merciful and delays punishment and treats us with compassion, hoping that we're going to do teshuvah, repent for our misdeeds, so we also should act the same way. All the attributes of Hashem we should try to emulate. Okay, the next, do not eat flesh from a living animal. You have to make sure that the animal and the chicken that you're eating is killed in a way, whereas the animal has died completely, and is not partially dead, because then when they cut pieces of flesh, it tortures the animal. And that's not nice to the animal. And if you eat such an animal, you can have torturous and confusing thoughts, not know where they're coming from. It's coming from the animal that was tortured to death. Okay, so don't eat flesh from a living animal. The last one is establish courts of justice, and also believe in justice. Because if the human beings in the court are not acting justly, Hashem will eventually enact justice. So believe that God is a good God, and He is merciful, and yet He desires justice, truth, and peace. These are the foundations of the world. You can't have peace without having justice and truth first. You could have a temporary rest, but you cannot have a complete peace in your mind and in your soul unless there's first justice and truth. So remember that. Okay, Ten Commandments is, I am Hashem your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. This is why this is for the Jewish people, because the Jewish people were in Egypt for 210 years, supposed to be 400, but then Hashem took us out after 210 because the Egyptians not only enslaved us, but persecuted us in many ways. So the torture, Hashem understands which is equivalent. The 400 years equaled 210 with the suffering. And just as He took us out 190 years sooner from Egypt, He could also take us out of our Golus 190 years sooner or any day. But we can think that since the Messiah is supposed to be here by the year 6000 and we're in the year 5779, that doesn't mean we have to wait for the year 6000. He could come 190 years sooner, or He could come even any day. We're supposed to wait for Him every day and take one day at a time, because He's been here in every generation. There's been a Messiah, but Hashem is waiting for the people to be ready. You can't give somebody something that they don't want to take. So if the people really in their hearts want Mashiach here, He will be here today even. And if the Jewish people all would keep just one Shabbos, He would be here immediately. So have that in mind and try to start keeping the Sabbath. It's a really easy thing to do. You just light a candle right before sundown, and the calendar shows you when to light it and when to end the Sabbath. And you just light the candle, you say your prayers after the Sabbath, you say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. This is a break between the holy and the weekday. Say that a few times, and then there's a Havdalah service, but the main thing is making that break. And the Sabbath is over when three stars appear in the sky at night, but the calendar also tells you when it ends. Okay, and for the Sabbath, you have a night meal, a day meal, and a meal right before the Sabbath ends. It should be with bread. The last meal could be with cake or fruit if you cannot have the bread, but preferably bread. And the last meal in the evening on the Sabbath is for avoiding the war of Gog and Magog. There's going to be a war, unless the people merit that there shouldn't be a war. But there's going to be a war because there's so much hatred and jealousy in the world. There's going to be a war first. The nations are going to try to go kill out Klal Yisrael. And instead, God is going to end up making sure that they do harm to each other, and that He sends a fire from heaven and obliterates all the ones that have hate in their heart for Klal Yisrael and for God and for the land of Israel. Okay, if you want to be resurrected, if you're going to die today and you want to be resurrected, you have to have a belief in Mashiach, that Mashiach is going to come and that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt and there'll be peace in the world. Zach? the thing looks like it went off. Hello, I don't know if this went off or not. It looks like the computer went off, so. Zachariah. Huh? Oh, okay, here we are. We're still on, everybody. See, this is so silly. I don't know how to work computers. I don't know anything about them. Okay, so that's what happens when you're busy learning Torah. You don't know anything about electronics. But that's good. Okay? Electronics could be used for spreading Torah. Anything else is just empty. So spend as little time as you can with the things that are not Torah. One thing to learn is the Parsha of the Week from the Torah Anthology, and it includes all the commentaries. Rabbi Yaakov Kuli was the first to be an author for the books of Bereishis and half of Shemos, and then he had passed away. And then there were other extremely pious tzaddikim, righteous men, that continued writing the commentary for our 24 books. Okay, the books are, you know, Ruth and Esther and et cetera, et cetera. There's 24 books altogether, and there's commentary on it from Rambam, Rashi, Onkelos, Abarbanel, Radak, Sudas, Rabbi Hirsch, etc. All the commentaries are included in the Torah Anthology in English. Okay, well, I think we're supposed to daven the brachos before we go over the Ten Commandments. I think so. Let's do that. Okay. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who sanctified us with His commandments, commandments concerning the washing of the hands. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who has formed man in wisdom and created within him many openings and hollows. It is obvious to know before the throne of your glory that if but one of them were to be open or one of them were to be closed, it would be impossible to survive even for a short period of time. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, who heals all flesh and acts wondrously. My God, the soul which you have given within me is pure. You have created, you have formed me, you have breathed it into me, and you preserve it within me. You'll eventually take it from me and restore it within me in the time to come. So long as the soul is within me, I offer thanks to you, Adonai Eloheinu, and Elohai, my Father's Master of all works, Adonai of all souls. Blessed are you, Adonai, who restores souls to dead bodies. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who gives a rooster understanding to distinguish between day and night. You give a heart understanding to distinguish between right and wrong. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who opens the eyes of the blind. You give us eyesight, prescription glasses, insight into how to resolve problems, all of our senses. May we serve you with all of our senses, limbs, and organs to make a Kiddush Hashem in private and public, in intention, thought, prayer, speech, and deed. In every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year, in this lifetime, in this generation, please bring Mashiach Hashem and let it be as if Mashiach is here from our good and pure intentions, thoughts, prayers, speech, and deeds. Purge us of hidden sins so that we can be clear of gross transgression. Let us yearn for purity, lest you grow angry and our way be doomed. Chas v'shalom. Do not send us to the seven chambers of hell in the next world. Let us meet our tikkun with love, awe, and fear of you, and joy and enthusiasm for doing your mitzvot, love of the land of Israel, Mashiach, and the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you, Hashem, for our bones, muscles, arteries, organs, veins, openings, hollows, blood, skin and sense of touch, eyes and sense of sight, ears and sense of hearing, nose and sense of smell, tongue and sense of taste, voice box and be able to sing and pray and talk, teeth and being able to chew our food, liver, lungs, kidneys, esophagus, spleen, loose bone, and resurrection of the dead. Thank you for our head, for our hair, for its color, length, and thickness, for our face, for our forehead, cheeks, chin, eyebrows, eyelids, eyelashes, eyes and sense of sight, ears and sense of hearing, nose and sense of smell, tongue and sense of taste, skin and sense of touch, voice box and be able to sing and pray and talk, teeth and being able to chew our food. Thank you for our necks, shoulders, underarms, underarm deodorant, arms, elbows, wrists, hands, fingers, joints, fingernails, upper back and lower back, waist, hips, thighs, knees, calves, ankles, heels, toes, toenails, chest, stomach, front, back, matriarchs and patriarchs, tzaddikim and tzaddikuses. May we use all of our organs and limbs and senses to serve Hashem, to do what He wants us to do in happiness and in good health. May we have a good exercise and diet and live in a clean and organized environment and get our laundry done and make priorities and make a schedule and write a page in our diary every day that takes 5 minutes so that we are on track and can do the will of Hashem, which is our will also. The will of every person's godly soul is to do the will of God, because He made us and we're a part of Him. God made man in His image, meaning that we could take on all of the good qualities that He's invested in us that are hidden. Okay, let's go on to, blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who releases the bound. You took us out of Egypt, Hashem. You took innocent people out of jail, out of prison. You took Avram Avinu out of prison after 10 years. Yosef Atzadik out of prison after 12 years. Moshe Rabbeinu out of prison after 10 years. The Lubavitcher Rebbe's out of prison. And Rabbi Akiva and all the great sages that were locked in prison for the wrong reasons. They are the pillars of the world, and we should learn from their example. Taking us out of the house, getting us out of the house, helping to solve problems, and bringing Mashiach. This is all under releasing the bound. Thank you, Hashem. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who straightens the bent. You give us good posture. You give us the ability to breathe, move, bend, stand, sit, stretch, dance, walk, swim. You give us good and pure intentions, thoughts, prayers, speech, and deeds. That's under straightening the bent. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who clothes the naked. You give us Shabbos clothes, weather-appropriate clothes, sneas clothes, and a good Jewish character through learning and applying what we learn and teaching. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who gives strength to the weary. You give us mental, emotional, psychological, physical, material, financial, spiritual strength to do your will. It's all from you, Hashem. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who spreads forth the earth above the waters. You give us land to walk on and drive on, and the wonders of creation on land. You gave us the 6 days of creation, the waters, the light and the darkness, the waters above and below, the trees, the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the coffees, the teas, the flowers, the beans. You give us the sun, the moon, the stars, and life on other planets. And you give us, on the fifth day of creation, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, the swarming things in the sea. And the sixth day, you give us animals and insects and human beings, all different races and religions, to keep the 7 Noahide laws, and the Jewish people to keep the 10 commandments and the 613 when Mashiach comes, and do what we can of it now. And this is what will bring Mashiach. The Jews have to keep their 613, and the nations have to keep their 7. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who directs the steps of man. We make a schedule but so we can know our goals, but Hashem sends people our way and new happenings our way in order to direct us to our real agenda, which is our mission in life, which is what God wants us to do. He directs us in our mission, our schedule. He helps us to walk. He helps us to breathe. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who's provided me with my every need, Torah, children, and everything we have, our homes, appliances, food, clothes, nutrients, our surroundings, and everything that Hashem puts in our life, the good and the seemingly bad, which is directly from our thoughts, speech, and deeds, whether in this incarnation or a previous one. In the times of Mashiach, everybody will be equal, and there'll be no difference. Everybody will just be a soul desiring to do the will of God. And that's exactly how Hashem wants it right now, too. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who girds the people Israel with might. Give us Torah and mitzvos. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the universe, who crowns the people Israel with glory. You help us to be a light to the nations. It is not necessary for the nations to keep the 10 or the 613. It's only necessary for them to do their 7. And with that, they can gain eternal life in this world and in the next world. And we do believe in a resurrection of the dead also. So the righteous of the nations have a close bond with God, and they will live forever. But that's no idol worshiping. God created the nations. Not Yeshka, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not idols. God, the one God that made everybody, has created them to make a bond with Him and to live on for eternity. We can do it. Yes, we can. Blessed to you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the universe, has not made me a Gentile woman. That simply means that the Jewish woman keep the laws of a family purity, which means that we count our days of the period cycle and count a week after that and dunk in a mikvah. And during those 2 weeks, we have no contact with our husband. And this is the mitzvah that we have. And so we thank God that we have this mitzvah. It's not necessary for a Gentile woman to keep this in order to be close to God. But if they desire to convert, which they don't have to, but if they desire to, after a year of learning Hebrew and learning about all of the Jewish holidays, then they dunk in a mikvah, they say their blessings. It was granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this occasion. And who has sanctified us with his commandments, command us concerning the mitzvah of tevilah, of tiveling. Okay, then they're converted, and then it means that they are able to keep this mitzvah. That's what it means. Okay, why do we not say, who has made me a Jew? Because Jewish people are not only Jewish by lineage, by their mother being Jewish. This is how Hashem tells us that he chose us to be a Jew, as if our mother's Jewish, so we're Jewish. But if we're not practicing the commandments, we're not considered a complete Jew. If a Jew converts to any other religion, he's still considered a Jew, only he's considered a Jew that's sinning. But you have a Jewish mother, you're Jewish. If you're not observing the commandments, you're not completely Jewish. You're just Jewish by heritage, but not considered a Jew by deed. Okay, so we want to do both. Okay, and a person can only do what they're capable of. God made us that way. God made us human. He didn't make us angels. He didn't make us robots. But there's a nice thing that I learned, that when a Jew or a person tries to keep the commandments, you come higher than the angels in heaven. The angels are constantly doing God's will, but they're static. They have to do God's will because that's how he made them. Just like your computer does what it's supposed to do because that's the way it's made to do it. Okay? But a computer has no free will. An angel has no free will. So when you do the right thing, then you're coming above the angels because you have free choice to do the wrong thing. But still, people will get a tikkun for what they've done wrong. And even with that, God is merciful. And this is why we don't say, who has made me a Jew? You can't be a complete Jew until you start to observe the commandments. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the universe, has not made me a slave woman. Only God can... God took us out of Egypt. If we did not come out of Egypt, we would be slaves still. But there's many other meanings of slave. As you learn from all the rabbis' lectures, they tell us that we could be a slave to our money, to our passions, to our Yetzirah. We don't say, thank you, Hashem, for making me free, or use an expression like that. We say, thank you for not making me a slave. God didn't make us a slave. But we ourselves can make ourselves slaves, and we do. We make ourselves subservient to the evil inclination and to other people and to things, to money, etc. God forbid. Okay, but this is the way it's worded. Was not made me a slave, because God didn't do it, but we can do it to ourselves. But now that we said this bracha, we have to be careful to make sure that we don't enslave ourselves. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who has made me in accordance with his will. This is for mothers. Women were made after man. They are created with something called Bina, which means a natural intuition, a natural understanding of right from wrong. In 1 second, a woman could know what it takes a man to learn in a year. So the woman of the house is supposed to be able to decide her her environment, what's good for the kids and the husband, everything. She makes the decisions. Everything's going to run smooth. Why? Because God created her that way. She has this Bina, this natural understanding, that men have to calculate things according to an analyzing and adding up. And it's a way to do it, but it's just that the Torah says, respect your wife greater than yourself. Love her as much as yourself and respect her more. Respecting her more means that when you don't agree with her opinion, you listen to her anyway, because she has that special connection with God, that Bina, that understanding, that intuition. Of course, there are many great rabbis and ravs and rebbes that have come to a level of Ruach HaKodesh, and some have intuition. They come to a level of Ruach HaKodesh, and yet, at the same time, God has commanded a man to love his wife as his own body and to respect her greater than he respects himself. In the Eish Chayil, we say, her husband's heart trusts in her, he lacks no gain. Only after that she becomes an Eish Chayil. If a woman feels like her husband doesn't trust her, and she's got to keep secrets, and she has to live a life of fear because of trying to please him, and, you know, he doesn't make her feel like he has faith in her to make decisions and to do what's right. So she can't become her true potential. But she becomes this wonderful Eish Chayil that can do everything because her husband's heart trusts in her. He lacks no gain. And because of that, she treats him with goodness, never with evil, all the days of her life, of his life, etc. So the only thing it says in the Eish Chayil about the husband is his heart trusts in her. It says he sits at the gate with the elders of the land, and that he praises her. The real translation is he goes wild over her, but that's not sneeze to say at the Sabbath table. So you say he praises her. The children rise and acclaim her. The husband praises her. And this is the job of the husband and the kids. And the rest, the woman is an independent woman that can accomplish absolutely everything. She just has to have that trust, that faith. Okay, and it's the same with us. Hashem trusts in us. And that's why, you know, if we understand that Hashem is right here and trusting in us, we could do anything. We don't have to be subservient to anything, including alcohols, drugs, and psychotic drugs, and all the things that people are subservient to. When you get down to it, you don't need it, because God is the all-powerful force, and he's absolutely right next to us. But we distance ourselves from him. Now, we learn from the Baal Shem Tov that if a person is right next to you, but you don't like them, they're a million miles away from you. But if a person you love is across the world, and they're in your heart, you're praying of them, you're thinking, praying for them, you're thinking about them, they're absolutely right next to you. They're right next to you, so there's nothing to fear. All those parents that have their children in foster care and they're not allowed contact with them from some crazy calculations
It doesn't matter, in a sense, only if the child the child is yearning to speak with the mother and be with the mother, then the foster cares are not doing right by the children if they're not allowing the contact just from being lazy and not wanting to take up their time for it. But the reality is that a child is right next to their mother at all time because they have this spiritual connection. And people you love are right next to you. And do not want somebody to be next to you that is not, that you're not supposed to want next to you. Don't want somebody's husband or wife or something and be thinking they're next to you. And, you know, that can cause ayin hara and take away the person from who God meant for them to be with. If they're meant to be for you, God will give them to you. So, at the same time, when God wants people to be together, then they will be together. But we have to do what we can to make things happen. And in the meantime, you know the Baal Shem Tov says your loved one is right next to you in spirit, as much as you're thinking of them and praying for them. Okay, men are supposed to say the blessing, who has not made me a woman, but blessed be Hashem, God, King of the Universe, has not made me a woman. And then the conservative or reform people took this out of context and thinks that it means that men are male chauvinist and that men think they're better. And it's just the opposite of that. It's very important for people to, you know, try to discover the truth. So what it means is the same. You know, when we're saying, who has not made me a Gentile, who has not made me a slave, who has not made me a woman, we're trying to say what God has not made us. But in order to make ourselves into a Jew, in order to make ourselves into a free person, in order to make ourselves into a man, okay? A man has to learn Torah. If he doesn't learn Torah and he doesn't do mitzvot, he's not considered a man. Okay, so the obligation of learning Torah is on the man. It's not on the woman because she has the home and the children to take care of. In any case, she does daven and learn Torah. But in the days when the husbands and the brothers and the sons were all learning Torah, saying prayers and learning Torah, she was mostly busy with, directing the household, because it's a job in itself. And the woman has the bina, the understanding. She's close to God, and so she does the work of helping with her hands, okay, and her feet. Okay, so a man is obligated to learn the Torah, and that's why he says, who has not made me a woman? He can't say, who has made me a man? Because even though he might look like a man, because that might be his gender, nevertheless, he's not considered a man by the Torah unless he learns the Torah and he implements its teachings. So it's important, after that bracha is said, who has not made me a woman, to learn Torah and to do what the Torah says. Put on the kippah, the tzitzis, the tefillin, talis and shul, and feel its meanings. When a man takes a tzitzis he's wearing and he holds on to the tzitzis, when he's about to think, say, or do something wrong, he holds on to his tzitzis and he says the lines of Shema, Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of His kingdom forever and ever. Blessed be the name of the glory of His kingdom forever and ever. So then he has the power to take away that bad thought, the bad speech, the bad deed. Not to do it. Not to think it, not to say it, not to do it. It's equal to him keeping all 613 mitzvahs. So when a man wears the tzitzis and he knows why he's wearing them and he does that, it's equal to keeping the 613. So know that. Do it. Don't just wear them, but wear them. Wear them and do this. and make yourself higher than an angel. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the Universe, who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. And may it be your will, Adonai Eloheinu, and El Hav, our fathers, to accustom us to study your Torah, and to make us cleave to your commandments. Do not bring us into sin, nor into transgression or iniquity, nor into temptation or scorn. And may the evil inclination not have mastery over us. Keep us far from an evil person and an evil companion. Make us cleave to the good inclination and to good deeds, a compelling inclination to be subservient to you. Grant us this day and every day grace, kindness, and mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of all who behold us, and bestow bountiful kindness upon us. Blessed are you, Adonai, who bestows bountiful kindness upon his people, Israel. May it be your will, Adonai Eloheinu, and I'll have my fathers, to protect me this day and every day from insolent men and from impudence, from a wicked man, from an evil companion, from an evil neighbor, from an evil occurrence, from an evil eye, from a malicious tongue, from slander, from false testimony, from man's hate, from culminous charges, from unnatural death, from harsh diseases, and from misfortune, from the destructive adversary, and from a harsh judgment, from an implacable opponent, whether or not he is a member of the covenant, and from the retribution of Gehenna. See, are we a superstitious people or what? These are real, you know, all these spiritual forces, evil eyes and everything. It's, you know, we want to protect ourselves against it. It's a spiritual world. Jealousy causes great harm. It's caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, destruction of relationships, bad health, people dying. An evil eye causes death. So let's not have jealousy in our heart. Jealousy is the culprit of all of the bad character traits and the bad things happening everywhere. So let's, the sages say, if you're jealous of someone, it's like being jealous of the lenses in their glasses. You just want what the other person has, but you're not realizing that Hashem has given each person life. He's given each person what they need. He gives every person their food. He gives every person the lenses in their glasses that they need at the right time. Okay, don't desire the lenses in somebody else's glasses. And if you desire anything of theirs, it's the same thing. So the rabbis say that it's okay if you're jealous of somebody's spiritual qualities, if it's going to cause you to also acquire greater spiritual qualities and try to, you know, come up as high as you can in your spiritual world. If you're going to do that and use that jealousy for a positive thing, then that's good. That's what it's meant for. But every single bad character trait can be used for something good. And you can figure that out. Okay, now is the Torah blessings. We're not supposed to learn Torah without the Torah blessings, really. There's an opinion that you can learn it. If you're not involved in the conversation, you can listen. And if you're not like talking Torah, then you can listen without the Torah blessing. In case you hear something before you've said the Torah blessing, it's okay as long as you're not discussing every point of it. But if you're having a discussion on Torah, you should say the Torah blessings first. And in the times of the temple, the people stopped saying the Torah blessings, and they were learning Torah, and there was destruction. So people have to say the Torah blessings, and they're supposed to say 101 blessings a day or thanks a day. This is easy to do if you like take a piece of paper and you start thinking in your mind the things you're thankful for, and you just say thank you, and you make a check, and you're thinking, thank you, Hashem, for this home, thank you for the furniture, thank you for the clothes. You're making a check for every single thing. And first make some dots on the paper, make 10 dots going down, and then for each dot say like 10 thanks, and you make 10 checks next to each dot, and you say thank you for each thing. And even if you can't voice a complete, you know, thank you for this specific thing, you say, you know what you're thinking in your mind, you say thank you, you make a check. This will get you into the habit of saying the 101 thanks, and ward off bad things from happening. It'll help us to be blessed. Okay,
Here we go. Torah blessings. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments. Command us concerning the words of the Torah. Adonai Eloheinu, make the teachings of your Torah pleasant in our mouths and in the mouths of your entire people, the house of Israel. May we, our children, and the children of your entire people, the house of Israel, all be knowers of your name and students of your Torah for its own sake. Blessed are you, Adonai, who teaches the Torah to his people, Israel. Blessed are you, Adonai Eloheinu, King of the universe, has chosen us from among all the nations and has given us his Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, who gives the Torah. Amen, Selah. Okay, so this does not mean that we think that we're better than anybody, because that's called pride, and that sends a person right straight to hell. Okay, chosen means that God put us through Egypt and through the wilderness to receive the Torah in order to do these specific commandments. Everybody has their role in life. The Jews are supposed to be a light to the nations. God did not want to burden the nations with the extra commandments. You know, everything has is a burden and a privilege when you take it on. Everything in life is a burden and a privilege. But you know, some people could compare it to, well, I don't want to compare it to raising children. Some people would say it's a burden and a privilege. But being that, you know, some people have their children in foster care, they don't think that it's a burden to have, to raise children. Okay, everybody wants what they can't have. They have it, and they are not as appreciative. But in any case, even a new pair of clothing you get, how can a new pair of clothing be a burden? Okay, well, if you get a stain on it or you have to wash it, you know, you have to take care of it. Whatever you have to take care of. So it's the extra things. This is what the Jewish people's soul needs. They need these mitzvahs to be close to God, because their soul is yearning for it. It needs it. Okay? Just as people have certain diets, they need certain foods for their health. One person needs meat, another person can't use meat. Okay? So it depends on what a person's body needs as to what diet they're going to be on. Depends on what a person's soul needs, depending on what food they need for their soul. The Jewish people need the Torah. If they don't have the Torah, they're dying inside. Their soul is dying. Okay? For the nations, they don't need the Torah. They need the seven Noahide laws. And that is what brings them close to God, the God that made everybody. Okay? It doesn't mean Jewish people are better. It means that they have a certain role to play, and they are supposed to be a light to the nations by their example. And by implementing what they can, learning it, the nations can be close to God. With the seven Noahide laws, they can have eternal life. And what more can you ask for? If they want more, they can convert. We tell people don't convert, because we're a persecuted nation. Everybody hates us. Century after century, we're destroyed by people that don't like us. So why become part of a nation that people hate? And why do it if you don't have to do it? And you don't have to do it if you're not Jewish, if your mother's not Jewish. If your mother is Jewish, your soul is craving these commandments, because it's part of your soul that you need it, like you need food, in order to be close to God. If your mother is not Jewish, you need the seven laws of Noah in order to feel close to God and to feel complete and to not feel like, you know, life is too hard to bear anything. It's not. It's just a matter of ignorance that people don't have these laws, and so they don't know how to get close to God, because they don't have it. But if they learn it, and they learn it every day, and they work towards it, then they feel Hashem right by their side. God made us. He's right next to us. He made us. Okay, so he made all different kinds of animals. He didn't make one kind of animal. He made all different animals. Each one has their own role. Each one
does a different thing. One is not better than the other. And it's the same with human beings. There's different, all different races. That's exactly the way God wanted it, just the way he made it. Okay, so again, we have the seven laws of Noah and the Ten Commandments. Seven laws of Noah: worship the one and only God with no form and no body. Is the one God. Okay, he's everywhere, knows everything, made everyone, wants the very best for you, wants us to get along. God made the world in order to give, and he wants us to give to each other. Okay, next, do not murder, do not commit adultery. That includes also of the nations, not to the homosexuals and lesbians. They're not together in the next world after they die, because God made, in a spiritual sense, a person's other half is it's a male and a female. So that's pretty obvious. And you know, life gets tough. People resort to alcohol and all kinds of stuff in order to get through life. But you know, it's not necessary. You just have to have knowledge. So the knowledge is that Hashem has made a man and a woman in order that they should be together, not just physically, but spiritually, not just in this world, but in the next world, and for all time to come. So if you want it to be an eternal thing, and people say, oh, but I love this, man can say, I love this guy, you know, I want them to be my husband, or woman, I love this woman, I want her to be my wife. So I say, just as the sages taught, you know, you love your mother, but you're not intimate with your mother. You love your father, you're not intimate with your father. You love your brother, you're not intimate with your brother. You love your sister, you're not intimate with your sister. You love your best friend, you don't have to be intimate with your best friend. Okay? You can love a lot of people. We're supposed to love everybody. Love your fellow man as yourself. Love your fellow Jew as yourself. Love. Okay? We're supposed to love everybody, but you can't love like... What if you love your animal? You love your animal. Some people love their animals more than they love people, but that doesn't mean that they should be intimate with their animals. Okay, you can love, and people just don't have this knowledge, you know, because if they have the knowledge, you know, it's not a world that just spits out morality all over. We're not constantly learning to be moral. But if when we're learning, you know, the moral rules, then we're able to connect with it. We're able to jive with it. We're able to attain it because we have the knowledge of it. But when we don't have the knowledge, we could die not having the knowledge. We could die not having the free choice of being where our soul really wants to be with our true other half. May everybody find their true other half. May they keep going at it till they get the one that's the true one. Right. Okay. May you all be blessed. Okay. Do not steal. Do not eat flesh from a living animal. Do not curse God, and establish courts of justice and believe in justice. Okay. Ten Commandments. I am Hashem your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Hashem brought the Jewish people out of the land of Egypt in order to follow the 613. Now, when Hashem commanded us the 613 in addition to the 10, the Jewish people said, no, this is too much. God said, wow, okay, I made all these miracles for you, took you out of slavery, and made these miracles for you. This is too much. So Hashem held the mountain over the Jewish people's head and said, you accept this Torah, or this will be your burial spot. And the Jewish people said, okay, we will accept it. He's saying, this is your purpose. I created you for this purpose, to keep these rules. And so if you're not going to keep the rules, you may as well die. But God forbid, you know, God wants us to attain what we can in a human way. And he knows we have to move one step at a time. You know, if a person's very strong, they could fly to the top of the ladder. But if a person doesn't have that strength under them, they have to move one step at a time. And God knows, you know, if you're your baby's first learning how to walk, you don't say, come on, run, let me teach you how to run. Okay, you took one step, let me see you run. Okay, we don't do that to a child learning how to walk, and God doesn't do that to us either. Okay, God is merciful. God is, logical. God is all the good things. Okay? Let's go on to the next commandment, which is do not worship idols. It's the nation's very first commandment, and it's the Jewish people's second commandment. They have do not worship idols, worship the one and only God with no form and no body. That's their first commandment. It's our second commandment. The next commandment is do not take Hashem's name in vain. The seven Noahide laws, it says do not curse God. In the Ten Commandments, it says do not take Hashem's name in vain. It includes not saying, oh my God, and all these expressions with the nations, you're not supposed to say God damn. And the Jewish people, you're not supposed to say, oh my God. And, that's called taking God's name in vain. God created this whole entire world. You're going to take his name so lightly? Please don't do that. And by the way, why don't we mention Hashem's name? The nations have this thing with, you're supposed to mention God's name, and they point out sources saying, you didn't call upon my name. It does not mean using God's name. It means Hashem, which means the name. We say Hashem, okay? And there are certain names we're allowed, the Jewish people are allowed to use when davening with Hashem's name, or converts when they're trying to convert are allowed to use God's name. But there's many names of God's that we are not allowed to use. We can lose our, we can lose our Olam Haba, our world, next world, by using God's names. God's names do make, miracles. We're not supposed to use God's name like we use, like a person practicing sorcery, magic or something, wanting something right away. So, and using God's name. So, just as you would not say to a king in a palace, hey, James, if that's the king's name, you say your honor, your majesty. You don't use his name. Okay, all the more so the king of the world, who has made everything, just because he's right beside us and we have access to him immediately, doesn't mean that we have to downgrade him because he's so accessible and he's so good to us. Okay, we use God. We're not supposed to use him. God is saying, I want to give to you everything, food and everything you need. And then people get used to not talking to God and everything that God gives us, and not just taking things for granted. So the idea is to know God is right next to you. He's not just your God, but he's the king of the world. He made the entire world, the heavens and all they're in, the earth and all they're in, the seas and all they're in, and the 6 days took him to make everything, and he rested on the Sabbath. So we try to emulate God. We need to know he's right beside us, but we shouldn't take advantage of him, and we shouldn't take advantage of his name by saying it in vain. So please start to acknowledge God right next to you and start talking to him every day, and get all your challenges solved, because the only reason we have the challenges is in order to make a relationship with God. He wants a relationship with us. Okay, he doesn't want us to be static like the angels. He wants us to take our free choice to serve him. Now, I compare it to a spouse. If you have one spouse that's only being the giver and the other person the receiver, then it's not so much of a relationship. I compare it to, I think that's a good analogy. You want to be a giving, receiving relationship where you're interacting. God wants us to interact with him, okay? But he wants it to be our free choice, okay? He wants us to do it on our own, not to be forced. He doesn't want us to be forced to have a relationship with him. He wants us to take our free choice to say, yeah, I know, I feel that you're right next to me, God, and that you are all-powerful, and you're the one in charge, not me, and you control everything, and I want you to help me with this challenge you're giving me. I want to talk to you about it. I want you to help me. Okay. So I hope that we can all have a close relationship with God and with the people in our life that are good for us, that God wants us to. Okay. Next is remember and keep the Sabbath day holy. This is a commandment the Jewish people do because God took us out of Egypt. In turn, we keep the Sabbath. It is not a sin for the Goyim not to keep the Sabbath. And if they help a Jew out in some way when they can't do something on their own on the Sabbath, it is a mitzvah. It's a good deed. We're not supposed to ask the Goyim to help us on the Sabbath, but if they would like to, if we need help, then it is their mitzvah. But it, you know, they are not going to hell for not keeping the Sabbath. But the Jewish people are. The Jewish people don't keep the Sabbath. We're going to be in hell because God said you got to keep it. Took you out of Egypt, and you have to keep it. So we don't keep it. We're going to hell. Gentiles don't keep it. They're not going to hell. It's not their commandment. They're not required to do that. Okay, next is honor your father and mother so that your days may be long. Why this commandment is given to the Jews and not the Gentiles is because the Jewish parents are obligated to teach their children Torah. And because they're obligated to teach them Torah, because the Jew has a Jewish soul because of the mother, they're born Jewish because the mother's Jewish, therefore they're capable of keeping that 613, the 10 and the 613. Of course, we can't keep everything till the Messiah is here, but their soul is capable of it, and the parent is supposed to teach it to the child. And because of all of this, we have an obligation to honor our parent, even if they're going completely against Torah. Why? Because their soul it's a piece of God. It's a piece of God that he has given the capacity to the person to do all the mitzvos and to be a light to the nations by their example. So because they teach the Torah in gratitude, you honor them. And the nations do a pretty good job honoring their parents. They go out of the way to honor their parents in many ways. And of course, every person has to honor the other person. Every person owes every person respect, no matter age, no matter race, no matter religion. Every person is supposed to have respect and to be talked to. In a respectful manner and treated in a respectful manner. But the honoring is the mitzvah is given because of the Torah being taught and applied. So this is why we have this specific commandment. If the parent is doing something that's not Torah, which there's a million people that are not observing, at least a million are not observing, but the child is supposed to tell the parent in a tactful way. A mother or father, does it not say in the Torah that we're supposed to keep the Sabbath? Or, you know, whatever the parent is doing wrong, the child has to find a tactful way to correct the parent. Because if not, the parent's going to hell for it. And then you gotta mourn. After the parent dies, you have to mourn for up to 11 months. You mourn the parent's death. Why? Because they're going through hell in that period of time. And, you know, you can prevent them from being in hell. You could prevent them from getting the fires of hell if you try to correct them in the lifetime. And they will eventually listen to you, and it won't be your sin that they went to hell. Okay, and it's the same with the parents and the children. the children below bar mitzvah age, they suffer because of the parent's sins. If the parent does the right thing, the child is not going to suffer because of them. So we have to all keep the commandments and not allow our parents and our children to suffer needlessly. And every time we do a sin, the sages say that it affects everybody in the world. It really affects all the people in the world. So, let's go on with the morning blessings. Actually, we have to finish the commandments. Do not murder. Also means do not speak badly against anyone or anything. We really have to work on that. There's a reason that we're in the gullus, in the exile. Okay, you're not supposed to listen to. You're not supposed to believe. You're not supposed to talk about things that ruin, that have the potential for ruining a person and their life. Okay, so it's under do not murder. There are 7 chambers of hell going down, and the lowest one is with snakes and scorpions. It's specifically for people that speak badly of others, and they ruin their lives because of it. If you kill somebody, they die with a sword or gun, whatever you kill them, they're dead. Okay, they don't have to suffer embarrassment and all the other things that are caused by bad speech. Bad speech kills from a distance. So let's work on that. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery in intention, thought, prayer, speech, or deed. Bad intentions with being with somebody that you're not supposed to be with and leads to bad things. You thinking adulterous thoughts, just get it out of your mind, because the next thing is it comes out in the speech, it comes out in the deeds, or it could. And, you know, it all starts in the intentions and the thoughts. So, do not steal people's reputations, people's jobs, people's family. Do not kidnap or steal. We have, in addition to do not steal, the commandment, do not kidnap or steal. Now, I don't know. We have to look up why, but we do have the commandment not to kidnap. And even a penny's worth that is not yours, not allowed to steal it. Have to believe all money and all situations come from God in order to get us close to Him and bring us to where we're supposed to be. Okay, do not bear false witness. Don't say that something happened that didn't happen. Okay, and do not desire anything that is not yours, anything that is not wise for you to attain. This is also not a commandment for the nations. They're allowed to desire. And if there's, let's say there's a couple of the nations, they want to live together, a man and a woman, they love each other, they want to live for each other, and so they are intimate and loyal to each other. They do not need to go to court for marriage. They do not need to have a priest marry them. They simply can celebrate their love for each other with a party by themselves or with other people. But the moment they decide they're not good for each other, right for each other, one or the other decides, and they go to another person, then that's considered adultery if they're together with their husband or wife. But if a woman or man goes to another woman or man, and they come back to their spouse, they're not being loyal to them. That's called adultery. But if they discuss it, they say, I am wanting to be with this person. I'm sorry, I'm attracted to this person. The man goes to another woman, let's say, and he's intimate with her. So right away, the law is that the woman can also go to another man. And that's it. They've started a new marriage. And they don't need the court of law in the way. They don't need the church in the way. They just, it's a matter of intimacy and loyalty. If you have it with one person, that's your marriage. If you're breaking it up, the other person has permission to break it up, all within a day. So you should just make things easier on yourself and know that. Okay, next thing. Let's get back to the morning blessings. Okay? And Adonai spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Aaron and to his son, saying, thus shall you bless the children of Israel, say to them, Adonai bless you and guard you. Adonai make his countenance shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Adonai turn his countenance towards you and grant you peace. And they set my name upon the children of Israel, and I shall bless them. These are the precepts for which no fixed measure is prescribed, leaving the crops at the edge of the field for the poor, the gift of the first fruits, the pilgrimage offerings brought when appearing before Adonai on the three festivals, deeds of kindness and the study of Torah. These are the precepts, the fruits of which man enjoys in this world, while the principle of reward remains in the world to come. Honoring one's father and his wife, honoring one's mother and her husband. Honoring one's father and mother, performing deeds of kindness, early attendance at the house of study, morning and evening, hospitality to strangers, visiting the sick, dowering the bride, escorting the dead, concentration in prayer, bring peace between man and his fellow man, and between husband and wife, and the study of Torah is equivalent to them all.